I bring my thoughts with a huge amount of humility and a huge amount of interest in what you're doing.
This is our Finambulist logo. As you can see, Karachi is over there.
How we have for such a long time be so complicit in this planetary ecocide.
Clearly, if it needs to be one group of people to the detriment of every others, it will always be like for the political struggles themselves.
But for some reason, we have decided to disrupt that ecological balance way more than any other species.
Think of ecology in the least technocratic way, the way indigenous nations have been cultivating a certain relationship to their direct environment.
And reflecting on overconsumption and things like that. This could be an interesting thing to look at.
Like, our project is focused around this idea of wonder.
When you say other people or the audience or something like that, who are we talking about?
Graphical, digital stages where these players will be fighting. But
how do you use Street Fighter as a way to engage people on the topic of human and non-human interaction?
Yeah. Imagine, for example, if you played the game by holding leaves of a plant, you know, rather than a joystick.
We are just talking to them about all the species in the mangroves.
Turns out it was a 16-year-old boy who cut the tree away, and it caused a huge nationwide outcry about this vandalism.
Like, what we do is like guerrilla gardening, or we try to like rescue plants.
Or write some book, or why do you not just like do a lecture for people to learn about this? There's a thing about artwork which is powerful. It's on an emotional level.
We exist in design circles in a sector that has morally disengaged from its climate impact.
We've been talking about greenwashing as well as innovation washing. And on top of it, now you have moral disengagement.
Where greenwashing comes up a lot in conversation, but we wouldn't be where we are if people hadn't done a bunch of things that they, you know, are not proud of. For me, innovation washing is slightly different. Forms of tax evasion that come into form as R&D departments that have no intention of turning their R&D work into actual work, you know, and they are performative pieces of work. I think we don't have time anymore for that.
Welcome, everyone. This is Zaki Shaheen. And as you would all know, we've been discussing creating novel interfaces for human and non-human interactions in an urban environment. We are very grateful that we are joined with our co-host from Imbrellium, our artistic director, Usman Haq, who is the maestro of interaction design. And we're lucky to have a very special guest, Anting. And Usman would be talking about Anting and what makes her so special and relevant for this guest session. So over to you, Usman.
Sure thing. So thank you very much for joining us, Anting. We're really honored to have you here. Everyone, I know you've seen Anting's bio. What I wanted to just add is that, you know, for all the things that Anting has created in so many different disciplines. One of the things that's really remarkable about her is how much she has helped support other artists and other creators. And I think, she actually gave me a tutorial at 1 o'clock in the morning a couple of weeks ago, which is still with me. And so although I've seen her work several times and I've seen her at work, I've never seen her speak about her work and to talk about all the stuff that lies behind it. And that's why I'm particularly excited today. And, I hope you will share with me in welcoming Anting to give a talk. Thank you. Over to you, Anting.
Thank you, Usman and Taki. And it's a great pleasure to be here. And so, similarly, I admire Usman's work very much. So, but we don't need to continue talking about that. But yes, but I think this program sounds really, really exciting. So I'm also very looking forward to hearing everybody's project. It sounds like a really interesting program. But to start with, I think I'm just going to use this session to introduce a little bit about my work. I mean, particularly on behind the thinking process and also how what is just a different stages of creating the work. So I think that could be useful reference for anyone who is creating work. I mean, either you agree or you don't agree. They are both, they could be both useful. So I'm just going to share about some of my work here. Let me just share your screen. So this year, like I have created, co-created with some collaborators, like a project CoHomeX, and it was like a both in-person and digital performance and mixing theater, music, gaming, and technology. And it was like premiered in York Theatre Royal, and also later I'm going to the Cambridge Junction and also Barbican for a few weeks run. So I'm going to jump to the next one just to go into what is HomeX. So HomeX is a gaming theater as a digital production. What do I mean by gaming theater? It means in a digital production, the audience, the digital audience will go into the performance as an avatar, like when you are playing the game. And then so you will like cut a tree, or you have like different way of interacting with the reality inside of this digital reality and as a gaming. But at the same time, so there is storytelling, there is theater taking place. So that's how I call it gaming theater. So as a digital production is a game and theater. And the next one, so it's a simultaneous digital and in-person live performance. So like a simultaneous, so there, in addition to a digital production as a gaming theater, it also accompanied with an in-person live performance. So what you saw on screen, this photo is a live performance at London Barbican back to February this year. So people will be live there as well as digitally. When I say digital production, it's like you can access through a laptop, and live production is you go to a theater to see. And the next one is the performers are live captured into the digital world. So you can see the performers on stage, and then they kind of, they are live captured by Kinect camera in the digital world. So both the audience in the digital world and in live world, they both see the performers, but in the digital world, they see them projected inside of the digital world. And it's in immersive projection. So in the live performance, so we use the immersive projection, it's like a 270 degrees projections, like kind of like to project the world inside of this game into a live space. So that's an immersive one. And it's also a remote, it has a remote collaboration through VR and music stream, like with like two performers in the UK and two performers in Hong Kong. So you can see there are two people on stage here, but there are also two people live on stage in Hong Kong. And they like the dancers, they dance with each other inside of the VR. So they are both projected inside of this reality, digital reality, and so 3D world. And then they dance, they interact together via VR. And a musician, so I was a director, also a musician. And then I play with a soprano in Hong Kong live, and then through music streaming kind of fight together. And it's also a verbatim theater. So what is verbatim theater? It means, if you are not familiar with this word, it means like it's the story is created through interviewing different people in like a life experience, instead of like we just create just a fiction. No, so we interview a lot of like different people, and all of those people's idea about home is projected into this theater. So we use the material to create that together. So it's not just like one person's point of view. This play got many people's view of that. So, I mean, this is a brief introduction about what HomeX is. And afterwards, I'm going to share you a trailer because it's just better if you know a little bit what it is, the story, what it is like. So this is an avatar, that's a digital audience. And you can see on the projection screen, it's a Hong Kong performer. And this is in digital avatar in the digital, and this is live.
Don't love this.
So this part, you can see they are not the dancer, but just like different people inside of this. These are recordings. It's not live, but it's what I mean by we interview people and take their story inside of this. So there is a whole passage of hearing the stories from people. And that's a singer, so projected into a space and singing alongside me. Okay. So the next one, I just want to share you quickly about what's a digital like experience for the digital audience, because that's just a little bit clearer. So inside of as a digital audience, you completely go into just as an avatar, so you can see people's like a conversation inside of this. So it's like playing a game and you can interact with the performer, because they are live projected into this digital world. And then so those little creature, they are controlled by people and they can shoot as well. Like, you know, so that's, yeah, just want to give you an idea of that. So now I'm just starting to say about how we created this work. So the first, like the starting point. So how do we create a collective experience in digital work? So that's the first. I always like to, when I create work, I always use like asking myself different questions to create instead of saying what I want to do, but asking what is the question I want to explore in the creation of the work. So the first question is, how do we create the collective experience in digital work? Because this is kind of like this work is born at the end of like a pandemic time. But during the pandemic time, there was another digital gaming theater, which we produce like that's kind of like the first prototype of this production. So like I think during pandemic time, there's a lot of like just different kind of digital performance, including like people do theater on Zoom, or we see a lot of live stream of theater. But for me, I just feel it misses a very, very big part of what live performance experiences. So like when we go to theater or when we go to a music performance, we have this collective experience. But when we see live stream or when we just like go to a Zoom performance or something, I think there's a big part which is missed. It's a collective experience. And I was like feeling this is actually not about the performers, but it's about the audience. So when we do a theater performance or music performance or like when people are live together, there's a power of being connected in the space. This is not just like almost not relevant to the performers itself. It's kind of like the people existing in the world is live. That's a very important part. So then like kind of like we were thinking kind of like a game actually. In a gaming world, people actually do that quite successfully. But an online game, people are having to do things together to enable things to happen and having the interaction as an avatar. So that's kind of like a starting like a point of like how do we create collective experience? And then the answer is actually using learning from game to create a performance as a digital work. And the second question is, how do we collaborate with people from different fields and create the work together? So when it comes to just working digitally, I think there's a lot of expertise, which is not just like normally we work with artists like musician, designer, or I mean, of course, there are more and more. But just I think I'm a firm believer in terms of like collaborating with people in different fields. And I'm firm believing there's no like a different genre of which we cannot talk with each other. And we learn so much by collaborating with people. And the other thing I think is very important is like who you collaborate actually decide what is the quality and what you can achieve of the production. So I think it's really, really important about who are the collaborators and how are we collaborate with people together and like and what's needed for a production. So I think here I just want to share a little bit about what is the size of the product, who are the collaborators in this. So there are three co-creators, me as director and composer, and there is Ian, like, is a creative technologist, and Donna is a 3D designer. But we, throughout the whole process, we started, so there are sitting points and everything, we work together. And there are dancers and choreographers, like a side in the UK and Sunan in Hong Kong, and there's a soprano in Hong Kong. And then we also have a UX user design, user experience designer, and a production manager and a stage manager. And in Hong Kong, there's a tech team as well. And there's a special like gamer actor, so who is helping to lead the avatars together. So it's a gamer actor is a So it's Mia, actually. You can see on this photo. Mia is a real person, but she's live controlling this avatar to help the audience in the digital world as well as like the live world, like to get through the story together. So that's we identify that's also required for the production. And there's a custom designer, as community producer, marketing manager, and administrator. So I think it's very important to think about who are the collaborators and how do we collaborate with people. And like during the process, really learn from, for example, Ian is from a complete like app development world. So just like how do people create an app is a very important part of like taking into the production. And for Donald, he is originally kind of like, he before he worked on this project, he's an artist as well as an architect. So he has his process of doing, so we also learn from his process of how to do things. So I think it's very important to understand different people, collaborators' process, and to make the best process instead of like everything people need to fit in, but understanding about what different things, especially when you are working on cross art form or just like things which just not a very, very genre, like a fixed genre. It's very important to learn from people in different like field. And then, so then how do we tell a story between nature, human, and home? So like, it's the title is Home X. So, but home, it's about home, it's about what is your root and what is home. And there are a lot of like people who have different idea about this. And, but there's also the idea of like a nature as home. I'm talking about starting point where we think about home. Like why is it Home X? So like, so nature, human, and home are all very, very important. And so we are thinking about how do we tell a story between that? So what's a very important response to this question is just I feel home is such a topic which has resonance to a lot of different people. So I have my story in terms of I left my home country, which is Taiwan, and come to the UK for like over 10 years. And I feel very often I'm like a foreigner in the UK. And but when I go back to Taiwan, I also still feel I'm a foreigner in Taiwan. So I have this thing about what is home to me and what is home. Just like, what is home? But then I feel it's not just me having this story about I have this story of this. Nowadays, there are so many people who have stories about home, like a question about home. And even you're in the same country throughout your life and you might feel alien to your home. And let alone kind of like people live in different countries or things. So like then this like kind of like we decide it's not that interesting actually just talking from one perspective about what home is, but to interview different people and learn from their experience and share their experience about home. And at the end, actually, I didn't talk about my home at all. Just like I'm just like taking the story from every different people we interview because their stories are more interesting than mine. So that's just like a very interesting thing about, and I feel I learned so much from different people in the interview about their idea. I mean, it's affected me so much about kind of how I see home and how I see the world. So I feel this is a really powerful way. It's about collaboration. It's about listening to other people's story while creating a story. So that's these are the three starting point of thinking about this. And the next one I want to talk a little bit about is like, what are the hardware and software like we, during the process we use. So we use Unity, which is a gaming engine to create basically everything. So that's that's including building the world and including putting all the sound and all the just elements inside of this world. And like, I want to mention also, I am a musician, like composer, theater director. I'm not a software developer or anything like that. But I also learned the basic about Unity and how I can put the music and how it general work. And I learned a little bit coding throughout my process making digital work, because I actually think it's quite essential for people who want to work in digital production. I mean, a little bit more advanced, like digital production, about the basic and understand about the tools you're using instead of completely rely on a developer just asking people to create it, because then there's a huge gap about understanding about what it can, how, what is the process of creating this kind of a digital world. So then what is the capacity, what's possible and what's not possible, and how long things will take. So I really highly encourage people all the artists to understand more about the tool, like if you are working on like different realities, like what it works. And then we use depth sensing camera, so which is Kinect, to capture the people live. And that's kind of like a decision to capture people as a life form instead of like the very normal kind of like way of like people doing this kind of production is actually using motion capture and then to make people into avatars. But we choose to have like people in a human being form. And I think there's a different power of like people see the like a people or see the avatar. And then Blender is like a 3D software, 3D design software. So like our designer used that. And then I'm going to jump a little bit quicker because it's like I notice about the time. And we use GitHub, which is a coding share kind of like way of like to manage the process. And then at the end, this digital production was produced as apps like for macOS and Windows. And Premiere Pro is like to edit even like a live sensing camera. So the 3D film is actually captured, like edited through Premiere Pro. And there's a little. And then I also want to mention about YouTube live stream, because like not only just the apps, but we also have a live stream version as a backup, because like there will be some people who can't download the app because their computer restriction. So we also have the YouTube live stream as a digital backup, so there to ensure more people can access the production. And then we have the three stages of like R&D to do that, and which I think for any like a more ambitious project, it's very important to have like a longer time to just research and develop, to ask questions what we want to do. And there's a lot of user tests for each stage, because I mean, that's just really, really key to have like real people to be involved to try different things. And inside of the story development, I'd kind of like it's like how to have like gaming as a storytelling. That's the first question we are asking. So like kind of how do we have the action interaction which lead to the game? For example, what we just like decide is a simple kind of like story, which is like the avatars all cut trees, and then they cut until they cut the biggest tree. And then that's a very big impact, because a big, very big tree is like a cut. And so that's kind of like the metaphor for cut our home, cut our root as well. So like so this is kind of like gaming and storytelling. Then we give the avatar also a task where they can cut a tree, and then just like as a game, but also a storytelling. And verbatim as storytelling, I talk about already, is interview people. And how to make a story more engaging for both in person and digital audience. So that happened after the second stage of R&D, where we have just like we like digital audience actually feel quite clear. They are avatar, they cut the trees and they know what happened. But for live audience, they kind of we invited some people to see, but they just say, I have no idea what's going on. So then we decided to add the text. Originally there was no text, but then we decided to add a little bit text, and then so then for the people to talk about, to understand more, because it's very important. I believe like a theater production, there's no point of like not engaging people. People don't understand what happened. So how to engage both in-person and digital audience is very, very important. And then how do we balance how much material has been prepared before rehearsal and how much should it be developed inside of rehearsal? I think as much things should happen inside of rehearsal. A lot of things I believe like will create the most organic thing is by working with people when I'm playing around instead of just in the head to think about, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, but to play around to see what happened inside the rehearsal. So we only prepare some bare bone before the rehearsal, but inside rehearsal, there's much, much more things created during rehearsal. And how to make it interesting to have interactions between different realities. So I want to show this little video, just like it's until later stage, we have this like how the movement makes sense to interact with this. It's kind of like by having just really interact with that and so as a dancer to do that. So I'm going to jump ahead. And then what is the core of the project and how are people engaged to the project? I think it's always very important to look back about what's important, including kind of like you see like two people are interacting, kind of how this is a movement piece and then interaction between the different realities. I think that's just like a really key for us to carry on explore how can we make the interaction between different realities interesting. I think that's just go back to the core question. And also what is home and what is nature? And that's our just at every stage, we go back to what is the core project and how are people engaged with this core idea. So, I mean, the reception is in general very good, but we also have like, I want to show like not as good reaction, like a reception, which is there are people thinking, I mean, the last one, who there's tension in a way that many like different kind of like elements seem to pull against each other. And I kind of like do agree, like we have a lot of like different elements, which we are overambitious about things. So I think if I do this again, I probably will take some element away. And I often find to make a better work is often take things away, not to add another thing. So just like we put a lot of things together, but we need to know when to take things away. So that's to share. And then the next part, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the music part. So I am currently working on a bird song project where I'm recording bird song and then as a part of the music. And that's from HomeX actually. So the beginning of the HomeX, we talk about nature is actually one of the very important part is when me and my partner, we were in Portugal and experiencing a dawn where, I don't know if you have experienced dawn. Dawn is like, there are many birds. They will just sing in just one by one. And incredibly kind of like in harmony, it's like a symphony orchestra, really like more beautiful than any symphony. And then one after the other, they sing individually, but also in harmony. And that was like one of the most, I mean, still, I think it's the most profound experience for me in terms of, I think dawn is the most magical moment for nature. Why would that happen? So like, why would birds just know how, just sing at that time, like 4 o'clock in the morning or something when the sun just rises and then they start singing together. So that's just a very, very, I still have questions. I still don't know why. And then just like, I still want to know why. And that's the most profound experience I have. And that formed the basic of like a HomeX music, which is I use like a different, like a 38 bird songs and field recording when I was in Portugal. So just share a little bit of, so this is all field recording, like a, no instrument here. What you heard is just basically the air of like the air in Portugal, but I use some audio processing to make it sounds rich, but it's just pure air and some bird songs. And then this starts the journey like for me to use like field recording as a way to make music. So I'm going to jump to the next one. So then the next one is like kind of like a, just like in back in June. So the timeline is like in February. And before, and 2 years before February, I was making HomeX with like with the creators. But then after February, this is in June, I happened to be involved with a project like by Xierong, is an artist, and kind of, and also with a movement artist Masumi. She asked me, like, she wants the Japanese bush wobbler inside of the music, and it's just, you can hear Japanese bush wobbler. It's a very, very cute bird and a very, very lovely voice. So this project is super important to me, where I didn't know at that time. Actually, it's a relative, like a really small project. I'll just ask 2 weeks before and to make some music for the project. But because Masumi asked me to use Japanese bush wobbler, and then I started to feel like continue from home ex, I can make bird song instead of music, but maybe not a lot of different birds, like just like one single bird can be really interesting. And how can I use a bird song as instrument, a melody, rhythm in the creation of like a piece of music? And it's just it's a coincidence, but I also feel because of this project, which lead me into the next one, which is like I want to make a bird song. I want to use every bird song, and it's like kind of like I create a bird catalog with different music. And then I have like one question, which is like, do I need to record a bird song myself? The Japanese bush wobbler, I didn't go to Japan when I was making that project. So that was like, I just took like a existing kind of a recording. And you can actually find a lot of bird song recording from anyone. But recently I have been recorded kind of in dorm, just like when camping at like wake up at 4 o'clock, listen to the bird songs, or go to the forest, get lost by myself and just like try to find a bird and then to record. And actually found this process is so important for of the creation of the music, because then after I record, that's the music itself. My experience in the forest recording, my experience in dawn when I was recording, that's a thing that I want to share. It's not just a bird song, which is the music of just a tone. That's also music. That's amazing. But I found what's more important is like, why do they sing? What's the connection? Where are they? Like, why would like a dawn happen in this way? And what is the experience when I went to forest and then to have the connection, interaction in the forest and then to create this song? That become the music afterwards. So I decide I am going to record every piece of like a bird song and then to record. And I think what's very important is allowing that into this creation of the music. It's like there some force, I think, anywhere to lead the project. So like what I say, kind of in terms of proportion between rehearsal and then what's in head, I think it's really important to feel the flow, because we are, none of us exists in this world alone, but there are so many things which pull us into doing. And I believe arts is this kind of like thing to say, not just about what I want to say, what I think, blah, 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 some things that it's more interesting for the interaction and for a bigger force there. And I think arts is a path of life, and work as is an expression, instead of like we just think arts is, I have to say, I think there's too many artworks in the world already. And I often question myself, why do I need to add another piece of music or something? There are so many. And after AI started, there will be so many things. But I feel this is about sharing, it's about experiencing life, and work is just an expression in a process. And so, yeah, that's like kind of like my idea. Yeah, just quickly share about kind of like so how do I mean by having this here, the black cap sound, and it's in the raining day. So let's just share a little bit like different part of wren is very, very interesting. They are the most common birds in the UK. And chiffchaff is... Yeah, I want to share a little bit different style of the work. It's just like, because they are all different sound, and the experience recording them actually decide how I'm going to create the music. So yeah, just to demonstrate why recording is important. And also I'm asked to mention briefly about, like, I also had a work augmented Chinatown app, which is an app in Chinatown combining tour guide, drama, AR, and the music. So where kind of like, so people download this app and then they go into Chinatown, and then they different corner, and they hear different stories and then see different AR. And also there's history about Chinatown as well. So like, so it's a like kind of like outdoor app work, I think. So I just want to say what is our important part is like, I think for outdoor work, on site work, it's really, really important. I don't know how many times I was in Chinatown. I mean, during that work last time, I talked to every shop, and I went to every corner of the place, and then just every day kind of like to just really see how to what is the best work. And again, I think how people can be engaged with this work is more important than how you think about this work. So like I create that work basically in Chinatown. And then the second thing I think what is very, very important is how important you like user experience design is. So like, I mean, I'm going to show you like the beginning, kind of like at the beginning, we have the design from just a designer of the app itself. And then it was just people find it's very different, difficult to follow. And afterwards, when we change like the interface design to make it easier to do, and that make all the difference. And that's what I learned the most from this app. I feel user experience and interface design just so, so, so important. So if you are doing any digital work and kind of like just really find people who are good on user experience, user interface, because that's key to any digital work. Yes, so that's it.
Thank you, Anting. Thank you very much. We are honored and grateful to have you there.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. It's fascinating to hear everybody's project.
And I hope we get to build on something we have discussed today and share the developments in days to come.
Thank you, Anting. Really appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.